sheltering under an ever so slightly noisy air conditioning unit in the rain, because it is quieter than inside the busy pub where everybody is celebrating the end of Thinking Digital 2012. I came out pumped. I came out exhilarated. Did British get pumped? I came out moderately excited. I was really, I don't know how Herb managed to do it this year. Sounds sycophantic, don't I?
I was slightly enthused by the meeting. Yes, I came out slightly enthused. No, it was awesome.
Introduce yourself, Jennifer.
Hi, I am Jennifer Gardy. I am a scientist at the British Columbia Centre for Disease Control, and I'm also a scientist on television on CBC, which is Canada's version of BBC, and Discovery, which is Canada's version of Discovery. And
I got told off for saying it was Canadian BBC.
No, it's true. We don't have Top Gear, and we seem to have less soap operas and more absolute crap television, but...
Do you get access to any BBC stuff much?
2007 reruns of Top Gear, primarily. We also get Location, 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 and Nigella's cooking shows.
I don't know if it's legal, but there's an app called Covert Browser for the iPad and for the iPhone, and you can pretend to be in a different country and potentially view iPlayer.
If I could be anywhere where I could see Countdown at any given time, I'd be extremely happy. Pretty much... the greatest thing ever.
Oh my God. Right, so your talk today went down an absolute storm, and I don't want to, you know, kind of try and create any hierarchy of amazingness, but it was right up there because I thought germs, right. And then I was like, wow. And I was saying rock. Wow a few times. In fact, I had open mouth syndrome.
You did open mouth, and I called you out on it from the stage because yes. I could see it.
What was I open mouthing at?
That's an excellent question.
Liters.
Yes. You were open-mouthing at the fact that cholera patients can poop out up to 20 liters of extremely watery diarrhea per day. And after probably liter 5 or so, it just stops being brown and it's just water.
I had an amoebic dysentery once in India, and you probably know way more about it than I do. And I just remember nearly dying in a shower, but somebody found me because I couldn't move from the shower, so I was drinking the water, pooping.
I know. It was literally, it was just passing right through you. It was a single tube from shower to shower drain through the documentary tunnel.
We are
through
just
the lens, the documentary
just,
lens.
It's just all a series of tubes.
It is. They're like, not unlike the internet.
So what got you into germs?
I saw Outbreak. It's the worst, really the worst career inspiration of all time is a shit Dustin Hoffman film directed by a shit action director. But it turned out that it kind of sparked an interest in germs. I thought, oh wow, that's really cool, and I can't believe that people actually get to like run around the jungle with a butterfly net trying to trap a monkey that's got Ebola so they can, you know, isolate the virus from its blood and figure out if it was monkey zero.
Now everybody thinks Ebola is from a monkey, but nobody knows.
No, exactly. As I pointed out today, we're not entirely sure what the reservoir for Ebola is in the wild. We know that its cousin Marburg definitely likes to live in bats. Some German tourists were recently infected with Marburg when they were visiting some bat caves in Africa. So if you're in Africa, don't go to bat caves for tourism.
That's because of the bat poop, which is called
guano.
I only know that because of him, the man with the funny hair.
Batman?
No, Ace Ventura.
Oh, yes, yeah, pet guano. Detective.
Oh, doesn't, faces guano. Don't work on this.
Guano.
Now, for those of a nervous disposition, please turn the volume down or think happy thoughts for a couple of minutes. Can you explain what happens to someone who has Ebola? Oh, this has got very serious.
Oh, Ebola, it's actually really interesting. It's a hemorrhagic fever. So essentially it causes, it causes a lot of blood leakage and tissue disintegration. So in the early stages, you'll see people, you look at their eyes and they'll be very, very bloodshot looking. You look at the roof of their mouth, their palate, and it'll be sort of infused with red blood. It looks like the way you feel after you've had a really hot soup. You're like, oh my God, what have I done to the roof of my mouth? Ebola looks like that. And then it just gets worse from there. So essentially, if you've got really, really advanced Ebola, you're basically, your vascular system is kind of melting from the inside.
So are you producing blood at the same time, or you're just leaking the limited amount you have?
That's a good question. I think it's more sort of necrotizing of your vascular tissue, but dying.
No one's ever said necrotizing of your vascular tissue on my recordings before.
Necrotizing vasculitis is really interesting. We're actually studying it back home in Canada.
I don't have a bugbear because I understand people have to make money, and quite often it's very difficult to not look like a knobber when you hold up your book on stage. And that almost seems, if your talk is strong, hold your book up because people want to know more. But if your talk is about your book, put it away. I was thinking, right, next time I'm talking, I'm actually gonna release a blank book so I can say, here's my book. It's a notebook. Write down your own thoughts. Hopefully from the inspiration you might get here, but you did one better. You saw a book being held up, so you went away yesterday.
Yes.
And you wrote your own.
I saw some books being held up and mentioned, and I said, well, these people have a book. I don't have a book. I should have a book because, I don't know, I think I study interesting things. So I said, can I swear on a podcast? Can I say I can say fuck it on the podcast. Great. Okay, so fuck it. I'm going to make my own book. And so I did. We got these small little kind of notebook things in our conference registration packages. And at the conference dinner last night, I got the idea. I was like, fine, I'm just going to make my own book. I'm going to use that little conference notebook. And so I went back to the hotel. And I sat down with my pen and I just kind of filled it in. And I decided to do an A to Z of germs, which is poorly illustrated. It's illustrated nonetheless, but poorly illustrated. And it actually went over extremely well.
It did go over extremely well because you said, yeah, I haven't got a book, so I made one. You held it up. And when you said it's the little book of germs, I could tell everybody, like half going to Amazon saying, I want to buy it now. Can you read it now, A to Z?
I can read it for the audience.
You're missing the pictures. For very briefly, if poop is mentioned, there will be a picture of a bottom with poop. But the germs are drawn, and some of them are beautiful little germs.
Yeah, they're kind of anthropomorphic and happy and cheerful. Again, crudely illustrated, but it's outsider art. with an expert scientific background. Right. Okay, here we go. It's a rhyming book that takes some liberties. A is for anthrax, which kills lots of sheep. B is for botulism, which can put you to sleep. C is for chlamydia, which can make these parts smell. And I should note for those of you at home that these parts is somebody in Y fronts and an arrow pointing to their genitalia. D is for diphtheria, which is hard to spell. E is for Ebola, which makes you hemorrhage. F is for food poisoning, an intestinal lavage. Here's one of the poop photos. G is for Giardia, better known as beaver fever. H is for herpes. If she has it, you might leave her. I is for intestines, where bacteria grow. And J is for... this one I had to screw up. J is for epidemiology and Dr. John Snow. K is for Klebsiella, and it's antibiotic resistance. L is for Legionella, and it's water tower persistence. M is for measles, which gives you the spots. N is for Noro, which gives you the trots. O is for opportunistic, which many pathogens are. P is for Petri, a dish filled with agar. Q is for Q fever, which can infect your pets. R is for rabies, which you don't want to get. That page was illustrated by less educated me and grammatically incorrect me. It was artistic license. S is for swine flu, which came from Mexico. T is for trichinosis. Raw bacon is a no. U is for urine, which we can test for germs. V is for veins, where we can find tropical worms. W is for washing, which dispenses germs with ease. X is for xylella, which causes phony peach disease. As an interlude here, X was going to be easy because xylella, it's a genus, a bacteria, and there's xylella fastidiosa, which is awesome because it's like fastidious xylella, and it's a plant pathogen, and it causes a couple different things with sort of goofy names, but one of the things it causes is phony peach disease. So I didn't make that up. That's an actual disease. There's probably a bunch of people in Georgia that are extremely concerned about it. So we are not to make light of it, people. Right, okay. Y is for Yersinia, the bug that caused Black Death. Z is for zoonoses, germs from farms and pets. Germs are great, and germs are fun, and germs live inside... documentally's bum!
No, that's not what it says.
No, it says everyone. But I had to be cheeky.
I do want to go and wash my hands now, though.
I know. It kind of makes you want to take a bath in Purell and then run through a cloud of napalm.
Now, tell me your Twitter name and your website.
My Twitter name is my actual name, which is Jennifer Gardy, JennifergardyGardy. My website is jennifergardy.com. It, like the book that I just read to you, is hand-drawn in a naive fashion. So I encourage you to visit and see if you can find the bonus horse and click on him, because there's all sorts of good stuff if you click on the bonus horse.
Thank you so much indeed. Leave us with one last thought.
Wash your hands a lot, all the fucking time. Just wash them. Wash them until they're red and raw and bleeding, and you'll live to 100.